Interview with Alawahere, Sir Richard, 19th of March, 1967.
He may have been a bit timid, but I don't know. I can't tell you because I did not know him. I mean, from what I know, he accommodated the politicians and they were fond of him.
In fact, that was a problem at that time, the late 20s and 30s.
Yes.
Won't it be correct?
Robert.
Anything I'm going to sort of quote, I'll ask your permission.
Yes, please.
No, in the 20s, I was thinking that some of these technical people, heads of
irrigation
and forests and others, seem to have found it difficult to get on with this new trend. Isn't that?
I believe. Because now irrigation was clearly controlled entirely by Europeans. And naturally, the rate of irrigation could surrender power.
Because they were not politically minded?
They were the victims of the system. You must understand that. I mean, it was the colonial system of the civil service and the services.
No, I don't know whether this has been...
I mean, I can't say they were men who are inherently, reactionary. But they were the victims of a particular system. They were recruited to it and trained in it. And naturally they wielded power and did not want to surrender.
To be fair to them, I was wondering whether sometimes when they gave honest advice on a particular project, against it, say, the Sylhanese said yes, felt that this is obstruction. But it may have well been honest advice.
Oh yes, quite so. Oh yes, that they considered it carefully and said, look, if you do this, this may be the result. Mm-hmm. That is genuine. And it may have been very good advice. But the ministers may have thought, well, my idea is so and so, this chap is trying to upset.
Is it because of this that in 48, they deliberately set up the system of permanent secretaries to act as a liaison between technical men and ministers, at least in theory.
What do you mean by permanent secretary?
Could the IGP go direct to the minister, or hadn't he to go through the permanent secretary?
Permanent secretary.
So in that sense, the head of the irrigation department would have to go...
No, but he had to tell the permanent secretary, I want to see the minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to arrange it.
And what about the Public Service Commission? There is a view nowadays that it's not fulfilling its role.
I shouldn't like to commit myself to it, but I think that's the general opinion. I mean, the party in power really controls the region.
But some people say that this is perfectly natural and should be allowed. In fact, they are against the principle of a separate body.
In fact, I don't know whether there is a Public Service Commission in England. I don't think there is. I think they ought to abolish it completely. I don't know whether it's doing any good. I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult.
There is just one sort of topic, a larger one, I guess, for the last.
Because now take a man like Church. He ruled. I mean, he appointed. He chose. Isn't that so? I mean, there was no one. He there.
I would say that you were in a particularly fortunate position among civil servants because of your rural background, and your knowledge of land tenure, didn't you feel that most civil servants, and particularly the Britishers, were at a great disadvantage here and lacked a real understanding of Singhalese tenure?
The general charge against the Land Settlement Department was that they were out to dispossess people of uncultivated land, whether they had genuine title or not. Mm-hmm. That the department at one stage was very reactionary in that respect. But later on, particularly when the liberal form of government came into being, and our chief was states, we had been given definite instructions to be as liberal as possible and never reject a genuine claim. Even now, I had a particular case where the temple commissioners had confiscated or declared crown a forest area of nearly 120 acres, I believe, known as Rang Ayudha Kali. Mm-hmm. That is, Rang Ayudha is golden sword, and the forest where it was kept. And obviously, it belonged to the Devali, which was adjoining. Mm-hmm. Now, temple commissioners, irrespective of the name and the evidence gave, declared it wrong. When I heard of this, I said, this is iniquitous. Because the people came into iniquitous, I said. Mm-hmm. And the trustee himself said, sir, we can't even cut a stick for our purposes, for decorations, various things. This is our forest, as the name signifies. Then I had to report to states, give my reasons for it, and he had to redeclare it and give a portion of it to the Devali.
In your last interview, you mentioned a memorandum in which you suggested that estate land be acquired to permit village expansion. How did the higher officers react to this?
I think on the whole, Mr. D.S. Senanayake was really sympathetic, particularly in the Kandyan areas. And that is being done now, really. It has been done on a large scale. Mm-hmm.
And also in the last interview, we were talking a lot about speculators. But that day I was talking this subject over with another lecturer, and he said, what do you mean by speculators? There are some people who were quite legitimately speculating land. But really, what exactly did you mean, sir, when you were?
Speculator, I meant the man who had the money and who was in search of land and who grabbed the village land.
In a sense, a speculating land grabber.
That's right.
And now the question of both inland settlement and as a GA and AGA, you would have come across squatters and encroachers on crown land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did you evict them, if you decided to evict them?
You know, those days it wasn't difficult to evict them. And very few people really possessed, as far as I know, crown land. It's a recent occurrence, possibly after 1956, mm-hmm. or just before that. As far as I know, I mean, no squatter really worried us. We had only to tell him, well, this is town land, leave, and he left.
Oh, I see.
Or if he felt that he was landless, we said, all right, you can have an acre or two. Mm-hmm. Depended on the land, on the place.
If he refused to go, what was the power you could use? Civil process or criminal?
Criminal trespass. Occasionally, people used it in order to intimidate, but the process should have been civil. If he particularly had a claim, he said, this is my land, then obviously we have to go to
court.
But if he knows that he has no right, then of course tumult trespass.
So then you had really no summary means of ejecting?
No summary means. You had no summary means.
Now, before, say, just take a hypothetical case, Ali Vihari was being settled. Then the surveyors came in. So in that sense, would it be possible for a claimant with a dubious claim to a specific plot of land to try and get the surveyor to include another bit of land with old trees on it in his claim so that he could bolster his claim? Is he bribed the surveyor to help him?
Could have done that. I believe it happened. The only danger was the village people themselves were there. And they said, now look here, this land doesn't belong to him. It belongs to so-and-so. There's a petition. Because at the land settlement, the whole village is present. And very few people can lie. That's the great advantage of land settlement in the area itself.
Did the people have time to present their claims? I mean, since admission?
In our time, definitely.
But it was in the English language. Were the notices spread out? Were the gazette notices?
Similarly, so yes. Why?
But many were illiterate. So how would they know about settlement being?
Well, I mean, it went about the village. That lands were going to be settled. I mean, you couldn't keep it private. I mean, people knew there was an inquiry is going to be held in regard to the possession of land in this area.
What about tom-tom beaters?
Well, I don't think they used the tom-toms for this. As far as I remember, I don't think so.
Now, say you were a settlement officer. Would the findings of the surveyor and his maps influence your decision as to a claimant?
Well, they note the name of the claimant. Well, we have to find out whether they are a genuine claimant. He hasn't gone. He had the time to inquire into their claims. It's not his business. He merely says, Talvatte Hena, claimed by so-and-so, extent so-and-so, boundary so-and-so. It's our business to find out whether the claim is.
So a lot depended not on the evidence put forward by the claimant. Was oral evidence accepted?
Oh, rather. Oral and document, both. And we asked the headman too, who was in position of this. And the village people will say, Vagabutti eti beoka.
What about the age of the trees on the land?
Oh, yes, we could easily find out. Then, I mean, when we inspected the land, you must understand that. Before we took up a settlement, every land was inspected. And we made our own notes. Chena, jungle, cultivated, coconut trees, so many years old.
Did the claimant, I mean, quite naturally, adopt every conceivable trick in order to prove their rights, like planting rubber?
Oh, yes. They did. They tried to. Depended on the age. And we should ask the headman, well, how did you come to town? If this is town, you should have known it. Why didn't you prevent it?
What about forged sun measures?
Oh, yes. There were. Of course, those went to the experts. Generally, we knew whether Sanders was genuine or not.
Some rather specific questions. I looked up this ordinance and things. Now, as a special officer under the Wastelands Ordinance, you dealt with Crown lands which had been occupied for less than 5 years. But for land which had been occupied between 5 and 30, between the prescriptive limit and 5,
yes.
You were a settlement officer.
Yes, sir. And very often, where we were doubtful, we declared the property private in favor of no particular person, which meant that they had to fight a case if they claimed it. If we felt that it had been cultivated, we can't decide on who has cultivated or who's owner. We merely said private land.
But if you could see who was clearly saw who it was.
We try to set it.
Now, if I could take
that up, is, if we felt that the ground had a claim, we'd say, we're all right, we'll settle it down.
If I take a sort of hypothetical example, an outsider to the village had come in and possessed crown land, or which maybe village common land, for about, on bare village title, for about 15 years before you came, and he hadn't even cultivated it. What do you do with it?
Well, it is crown land. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no prescription against crown.
30 years prescription there
was? The one?
30 years there was.
Yeah, 30 years.
Yes.
Very seldom, I mean. Mm-hmm. We hadn't that claim come in that form. I mean, they never really claimed prescription against the crown, as far as I know.
What if the outsider, say, had possessed crown or village land or good village title for about 15 years, but without cultivating? He was just sitting on the land.
Well, if it is private, we have no claim for it. We merely declare it private.
Say he had possessed land on bad title, but he had developed it for the last 15 years, he had been growing something.
That what is crown land?
Crown land.
Well, in that case, we tried to settle it down. Mm-hmm. Sell it to him on a particular basis, market value.
But what if the village needed part of it?
If the village needed part of it, we told him, well, you'll have to give up so much. We can't settle it on you. Mm-hmm.
Then the villager himself, how did he establish a claim to a chain of land, say this room? He had cultivated it at 7-year intervals, thrice or four times. Or the whole village had cultivated Alivihara.
Yes. Well, then the village headman and others will tell.
So, would you accept that evidence and grant it to the village?
Oh, well, it has a chain area, a chain of cultivation, yes.
Oh, not the title?
Not the title, we can't give title. I mean, if it is crown land, they can have the chain of rights, but it wasn't their property. Mm-hmm. They can cultivate it as chain.
Just another hypothetical case. Say, individual A had showed that he cultivated this plot of land, as chain of this plot of land, for about 3 decades on the established chain of title.
Yeah.
This particular plot. Could he claim it individually?
No. Because there's no plantation there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it is a permanent plantation, then he had got the claim. Mm-hmm. He had only chain of rights, well, he can't claim it. Now, in Gillimele, the 40,000 acres were involved, and we settled that village. And we found that when Mr. Van der Putten and Meedanyadiga and company had bought a whole lot of this land, from the villages, the chain of land. And we refused to concede that right. And they had to withdraw. They had planted it with rubber, they had to withdraw. We said, this is all crown land. This is the Gillimele Ninnagam. Gillimele Gavaragam.
So,
the Gavaragam meant the king's property.
So in that sense, the settlement officers were a definite obstacle to land grabbers and speculators.
In recent times, definitely. Land settlement officers, I don't think, settle land on the speculator. If he can help, if he was able to elbow him out, he invariably did.
Would you describe land settlement as a gigantic partition case, looking at it in one way?
No partition case as such. It is land settlement. We were settling land that was really crown and private. Where we found that a man had cultivated crown land for a particular period of time, we tried to give him title. All right? You admit the crown title. We'll settle it up on payment of unimproved value. But we did not want to dispossess him if he was a hard-working man and had cultivated the land.
Have you any idea how the peasants themselves looked on settlement work? Were they disgusted?
Sometimes they were come because they got title against all. Once it is declared their property by the settlement department, well, it is theirs. No one can question that claim. Up to that point, they appreciate it. We would like the title from them. They hated the idea of declaring it private in favor of no one.
Is it sometimes? Sometimes they didn't like settlement. Is it sometimes they...
Well, it depends on the people. I mean, who possess land. They did not like the settlement because they thought they would come and upset it. On the other hand, a man who really wanted crown title, they welcomed it. He says, sir, I have been in possession, and if it is settled on me, well, I am safe now.
Now, when you were settled in a village, did you do it in accordance with mapping out?
Oh, yes, brother. We did some mapping out too.
So, did you always, wherever possible, keep a few charity acres up your sleeve for the specially powder-ridden or the unlucky or sort of a...
No, not in that. When we settled, we really settled the, call it crown and private.
You settled upon the claim?
Claims, that's right.
Now, if an individual claimant refused to accept your term,
we had to go to court.
So that gummed up the works then?
The what?
That could gum up the works and delay the settlement of the whole village.
Oh, yes. Not the whole village, but that particular item. Mm-hmm. We had to file a reference case in respect of that land.
But didn't sometimes, if it was a partition case, didn't it affect the whole village?
No. Not necessarily. Oh, no. I mean, if Appuhan questioned my settlement, I said, all right, we'll refer you to court reference case. Keep it as that.
Did that happen often?
Fairly often. Generally, we try to avoid it. And they also like the idea of avoiding any kind of litigation. And they tried to accept our award. Unless the land speculated, but the money and was prepared to contest.
Now, when you were settled in a village, it was closed for settlement.
Yes.
In an official terminology.
Yes.
Closed. Now, didn't that hinder the district officers because they couldn't deal with that village because the settlement of...
No, in what way?
Sell land in that village or...
He couldn't sell land because it's under settlement. I mean, well, he knew that. It didn't upset his administration. They had only to say, sorry, that land is being settled. That under settlement, therefore we can't sell land. If you have a claim, go and claim it from settlement office.
Would it be correct to say that in early times, say before Alavihara was settled, because there was some insecurity of tenure, some peasants sold land to the... speculator, because they didn't have a clear title, they were willing to sell.
Oh, dear. I believe they did that. And the speculator made use of it too.
But settlement officers came and he was given a clear title. What was there to prevent him selling this clear title to
the
speculator?
Nothing to prevent.
Especially as you say the claim was on, it was on crown land. He would have to pay a nominal price. Nominal to you. But to him a fair sum. Therefore he might get into debt to pay that.
Oh, you can't help it.
So in that end, he might ultimately end up in the speculator's hand. Because he got...
No, well, we expected him to pay it off from his income, from the land. Mm-hmm.
Another type of case I'm interested in. Someone said that this land grabber, probably with a mixture of good and bad village titles, instituted a partition case.
Right.
And then, having taken the initiative, he prevented anyone else from bringing up the same case. Then he just waited, sat on his land, developed the land, and waited for the long, delayed the process as much as possible. And if the district judge insisted on getting on with it, by this, probably one party would have died. Did they have these tricks? grabbing land, using land.
The partition, ordinance, yes. I believe they did. Oh, yes, very often they did. Very often. You see, he bought, say, 3/4 from the owners. 1/4, the other chap would not surrender. Partition case. Put him in the partition. He hasn't got the money to fight the case, and he said, well, you take, pay me something.
Now, D.S. Sennaika began mapping out process in the 30s. I'm not sure about this point, but someone said that in the 1940s, when you had this crash program, food production program,
mm-hmm.
mapping out went by the board.
1940s,
say when you were GA, NCP, did you have the time to map out?
Oh, you always tried to.
Even during the crash program?
Oh, yes. I'm not sure, but I mean, after all, what we wanted in the crash program was tank bed cultivation. All the perennials that were to be cultivated had to be cultivated. And of course, extensive chain of cultivation with perennials. I mean, now I cleared 300 acres of chain and put hill paddy and paddy on it.
And how did you manage to irrigate it?
Pardon?
How did you provide the water?
Oh, I had the water. I got the water. Rain water, really, mostly. And then I settled it on the people who were in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't do any aimless clearing. Only clear where you can colonize. And give land over to the villagers.
So did they stick to the job?
Oh yes, father. It's a prosperous colony now.
Someone referred to the Land Settlement Department work in the late 30s and early 1940s as having degenerated into a picnic. I was wondering what he meant, but he said there were lots of chaps who were taking it easy in office.
I can't tell you. We did not take the shots. We had to work very, very hard.
No, but weren't there some sort of noted lazy cases like Jones Bateman and Davies?
Well, those are exceptions in every department.
S.P. Vicks.
Huh?
S.P. Vicks.
Anyway, I mean, you get that type in every department. The slacker, the dodger, who like to finish his work quickly, irrespective of the consequences.
Regarding land sales, before your time, before this liberal administration came, any lot of land before it was sold had to be reported on by the Rate Mahatmya or the headman.
Yeah.
Is that correct? I mean...
What is the land? I mean, it's a private land.
No, a crown land.
Oh, crown land, definitely.
So in that case, how was land owned by the villagers sold to the plantation? If the Rate Mahatmya reported correctly?
No, they were declared crown and crown only.
Yes, but if the Rate Mahatmya said, no, this is needed by the village.
No, Rate Mahatmya never had to say that. He may have said, well, this is a chain area, preserve it. Then the GA would preserve it. Otherwise, they say, well, this is crown land, you can sell.
That's what the Rate Mahatmya said.
Yes, yes. I mean, after all, if you had 3,000 acres, well, the village need not require all that. Mm-hmm. You would have said 100 acres, the rest can be sold to anyone. The government agent and the land and the land settlement department, government agent, knew exactly what could be alienated.
Mm. Now, I was not thinking of your time, say the 1900s, mm-hmm. earlier.
No, even earlier.
But then how the plantations taking up village land couldn't have happened if the headman did their job properly and protected the village land.
You see, the headman merely looked at the village as it existed then.
Oh, I see. Didn't look ahead.
Did not look ahead. Neither the Aran nor the headman. Only very often the GA said, well, there must be kept something for the village expansion. You must preserve that.
And what about private sales? Isn't it true that many of these our Kandyan families with large nindagam, or sometimes the lay managers of the temple land, sold some of those lands to planters or speculators?
They have. They did.
Mm-hmm. In your knowledge, there have been some cases? Or?
Oh, I have known. Mm-hmm. I know.
But now, why would a layman of a temple land do that? Because he's selling off his patrimony, isn't he?
The what?
He's selling off his patrimony just for a momentary bit of cash.
Well, I suppose it's not his land. He's trusting. Mm-hmm. Temple has got, now Nambula Temple, had about 600 or 900 acres. The trustee said, what's the idea of the temple having 900 acres? Get rid of 100 acres, if you can.